sent me a testimony on Monday, and I'm going to read it to you. I've had a couple testimonies I'm going to read to you today. There was just something about the simplicity of it that brought me joy, and it made me just want to talk about the simplicity of our life with Him, but it should be. And it's the testimony of a 3-year-old little boy. The mom writes, "My son David was diagnosed with sensory process disorder, which caused his speech to be very slow and delayed. And I had knee pain ever since I was born, and after a scan, they diagnosed me, the mom, with patellofemoral pain syndrome. I stopped complaining about it or mentioning it to anyone because there was not much the doctor could do and the pain wouldn't go away. One day when David was 3.5 years old, he looked at me and asked, 'Mama, do you have an ouchie?' He persisted in asking again if I had pain in my knee. Again, I said no, but then I heard the Holy Spirit say, 'Listen to him. There's something that I want to do.' So I said, 'Yes, Mama has an ouchie.' Without me showing him where, he stood up, walked right up to me and tapped my injured knee and asked if he could see. And he put his hands on my knee. His hands felt like they were on fire. He then started what I think was talking to God, but I didn't understand what he was saying. He finished talking and looked up at me, smiled, and walked away. My knee felt really hot, and I felt like God said, 'Test it.' So I decided to get up and check out if I had pain, and incredibly, for the first time, I had no pain at all. I did a squat, and I still had no pain. My boy had prayed for my healing, and I was completely healed. Shortly after this miracle, David began to speak normally and was healed of sensory process disorder."
Wow.
Wait a second. Did David get baptized? Did David say up that prayer? Did what qualified 3-year-old boy? And something just inside of me was like jumping, like, are we making this hard? It's like, what do we think the Father thinks of us? Right? What do we think the Father thinks of us? Buried in that question, there's this thought of like, do we really get it? Do we really know how much He loves us? What do we think that the Father thinks of us? Here's a kind of a crazy thought. You know, we're on a journey, right? We're growing into something, right? Whether you're a believer or not, you're growing into something. Something's feeding you. Something's grounding you. There are things you're connecting with. You're growing into something, right? That's something, that thing. You know, we don't become what our Father thinks of us here in this Christian journey, this believer journey we're on. We're not becoming what our Father thinks of us. We're actually growing into what do we think our Father thinks of us? Think about that for a second. This thing that we're growing into, its basis is, what do I believe to be true about this, my relationship with Him? What do I think He thinks about me? And that answer right there is directing, guiding your journey. Right?
Right.
Who He is to me is who he is through me. Right? My ex whatever I'm experiencing with him this way is how I'm going to be this way, right? So if I have, if my perspective is that he's, okay, he's father, but is he harsh? Is he demanding? Is he temperamental? Is he only happy with me or love me as long as I'm performing, right? Or is it, am I walking in this revelation of like, I am just his totally beloved son. I'm just enjoying this. I'm so accepted by him. I'm so connected to him. We're literally inseparable, right? Romans 8:19 says that the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly awaits for the revealing of the sons of God, eagerly waiting for that, that just enjoyment of being beloved, the privilege, the freedom, the satisfaction that we're just inseparable, we're just connected. You know, he's my dad and I'm his kid. And I'm in this journey of, you know, I guess we would say our journey of our identity, this what we're growing into, right? Are we trying to perform for God? Be something I think he needs me to be? Or am I actually just living life from this place of I'm just with him. I'm just, right? So I want to read. I've been reading this book on identity by a guy by the name of Chris Gore. I was telling Shelley before we started, Chris is in Northern California, a pastor, runs the healing rooms up at Bethel. He's a New Zealander, I believe. He's actually one of the first people I've heard speak, probably 15 years ago up there. And I was one of these kind of things like, you ever get in a room where I probably have heard thousands of sermons, but you always remember this one or that one, or you remember a moment, how you felt, you remember a statement the person said. This is one of those kinds of guys where he said some things and I was just like, not puzzled, but just taken, just captivated, like, wow, I love that thought. He wrote this book on, it's called Apprehended Identity, and his subtitle is Taking Back What Was Stolen. And he shared there were some testimonies that I just enjoyed, similar to that one about the 3.5-year-old David, that I wanted to just kind of read simply with you this morning. Returning from Austria to the USA by Frankfurt, having a middle seat on the plane for the first leg, a lady entered the plane from the back and sat next to me on the aisle. Plane time, to be honest, is my solitude time. It's the one thing that's very hard for me to get. So when on a flight, it's zone out solitude time. It's easy to take a long flight without the slightest desire to engage with the person next to me. I like that. I like that. I actually put in my earplugs and hope they don't talk. So he says, tuned out with my earphones on, and about 15 minutes before landing, my items were packed up, my earphones were removed. She looks right at me, wanting to engage in conversation, and asked, were you in Vienna on business? Yes, was my response. What kind of business are you in? Well, at that point, he says, there was an internal awareness that it was game on. He says, there was just a knowing in my heart that God had set something up, but not yet fully aware of what. There was no desire to tell her that my job is being a pastor, since people often shut down when they hear that, as they seem to think that you're going to call their sin out, judge, or condemn them. So my response included being an author and a public speaker, thinking that would distract her and end the conversation. Then she asked, what do you speak and write on? He says, the supernatural. Mm-hmm. It goes silent for a few minutes when it felt like it would be polite to ask her what she was in Vienna for. She replied that she was an investment banker, but was not currently working due to a work-related accident. She slipped on ice, flipped upside down, and on the way down hit her head on the edge of a table and ruptured every disc in her back. Ooh. It was at that point my heart was again telling me, game on. Ouch was my reply, that must hurt. She replied that she had one major operation already and was scheduled for another. Thinking that this was a perfect opportunity to practice union with God, my question to her was if she would mind if we tried something. With fear in her eyes, thinking she was in for some kind of chiropractic adjustment, she was assured that it was not an adjustment of that kind and promised it would not hurt in any way. She politely agreed, and my hand gently touched her on the shoulder. In my heart, there was a reflection on Galatians 2:20 and John 15:5. And without prayer, I proceeded to ask her, how was that? Her face told the story before she even opened her mouth. And she said, what did you just do to me? She informed me that two things just happened. One was that she felt something lift off her. And the other was she was covered in goosebumps. My personal belief is that this is the way that some pre-believers feel or describe his presence. My response was, do you want some more? Yes, 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 she promptly answered. And we proceeded to practice my oneness with him. She looked at me and said, this is the first time since my accident that there's just no pain. But I will not be able to test it until we land. Upon landing a few minutes later, and myself unaware of how she got onto the plane, she walked out of the plane with me following. We got to the plane door where the wheelchairs are waiting. And she says to me, Chris, you see that wheelchair? It's waiting for me. That is how I boarded the plane. Now I don't need it. She thanked me and walked off. He says, what an amazing day. He says, when I share this in public, it's amazing how people always ask me if she thinks my virtue healed her. Did you tell her about Jesus? Did you lead her to Christ? He says, firstly, Jesus never healed people to coax them to be Christians. He healed them because this was and is his nature. He heals people because he simply loves them. After she realized that something had happened, she did ask me, how did you do that? And there was the opportunity to tell her about the love of the Father and that he has towards her. He says, it was a precious moment. Right? That's sweet. That John 14, again, that sweet spot I love to always go back. You know, this is the before Jesus goes to the cross. He's in the upper room and he's that this is the scene of him at the Last Supper and him washing the disciples' feet. And we get that glimpse of him just talking about, as he's praying to the Father. And he's in it's that moment where you realize there's a whole lot more packed into the thought of I'm in you and you're in me. And that's what's in them, right? John 14:20 says that at that day you will know that I am in my Father and you in me and I'm in you. And it's like the simplicity of the gospel, like the just this waking up to we're connected, he's in me, right? Another one, a few weeks after this flight when he's from Austria, he says he's off again to Japan. He says, I'm taking a taxi to the church the first day of the conference, and the traffic was so heavy that he's with another pastor, and decided to walk the last few hundred yards. Walking past a coffee shop, the hunger in my stomach was telling me it needed food. On approaching the window to look inside to see if they even had food, to my surprise, it was a mirrored window. Putting my eyes right against it became a very awkward moment. On the other side was a lady enjoying coffee, and we came eye to eye through the glass, only inches between us. Promptly pulling back, explaining to the pastor what had happened and that the situation needed to be it felt kind of horrifying that I'm checking out this person through the glass. He says the lady was not a Japanese woman, but rather a white lady. So hoping she spoke English, we hesitantly approached, and he says, "Excuse me." And she promptly said, "Yes, oh, you're Chris Gore." And he says, what's even more embarrassing is that she's getting checked out, but she knows it's me checking her out. He says, "How do you know me?" And she said, "I'm from New Zealand and I live in Australia, but I'm here in Japan on a skiing vacation." And she says, "Would you mind praying for me?
Wow.
I'm having issues getting pregnant." Putting our hands on her shoulder, we declared that babies are God's idea. That was his prayer. Babies are God's idea. That was it. That's the prayer. And he says, once at the church, the teaching session we're walking into was on the woman with an issue of blood. He said, Jesus never laid hands on the woman. She just came into his atmosphere. Right? It's called, you might call it accidental miracles. And when you recognize that the one who lives in you, he says, it's him, right? He says, you're going to see more fruit by accident than what you ever intended to see. He says, at the end of the session, speaking on the woman with the issue of blood, he said, we had this treat of going to a very nice steakhouse. He says, it had been a long-standing dream of mine to eat at this establishment. I'd love to know what that place was, huh, Justin? Steakhouse. Yeah, must have been one of those steaks you and I talked about. He says, there's excitement in my heart. I'm going to get this quality steak. He says, we took our seats, placed our order. The waiter brought my steak out first. In my heart, there was this small, quiet voice that said, would you ask him to join in giving thanks for the food? He says, God's never asked me to do that before. Obedience is important. So he said, taking his hand, before even asking him, he looked at me as if to say, what are you doing? And he said, would you mind joining us in giving thanks for the food? He agreed, and we started to pray a simple prayer of thanks for the food. He was on my left side, and he began to shake my hand in a rather violent manner, and then erupted into tears extremely loudly. At this point, he had my full attention. And suddenly, he's lying on the floor under our table, sobbing and shaking. Not really knowing what to do, with a glance to the pastor, there was a sense in his glance back that seemed to say, you did it, fix it. He says, by now the waiter is kneeling beside me. My hand went to his shoulder and my words were, bless you, my friend, bless you. He got up and he walked to the kitchen and we can hear him sobbing as he went. The pastor talked to me really fast to discuss what should we do next, but we couldn't come to any conclusion. And the waiter was returning with the other pastor's steak. And so my mouth opened and he began to speak without even thinking about what to say. And I said, is there something that we can pray for you for? He erupted into tears again. And he responded that he and his wife couldn't conceive and they just wanted to have children. Isn't that interesting? The woman they saw in the mirror, it's God's idea. He was standing to my left, and we mentioned to him that babies were God's idea. He asked, how do you know that? Mm-hmm. We replied, God's word says, go forth and multiply. Peace and breakthrough is declared over him, and we enjoy our steaks. On leaving the restaurant, he walks us to the exit. He swings his arms wide and says, will you just hug me?
Oh.
We embraced, and he burst into tears once more. Months later, we received word that his wife was pregnant. Mm-hmm. And by the following trip to Japan, a year later, they had a baby boy. Mm-hmm. The waiter came to church to hear me preach that second trip to Japan. Right? What an incredible joy that day to lead in to my incredible, loving Heavenly Father. He says, on the flight landing in Japan, I turned on my mobile phone. The first message was from the lady in the coffee shop, with a photo of her new baby He says it's just another day of practicing union with him. So just enjoy this thought of identity and connected and oneness with them. And if you had to give it one word, the word has to be Jesus, right?
Yeah.
Right? And it's like everything about our life is drawn from this let's call it a baseline, just from this understanding, this infatuation, knowing that it's out of this my connectedness with Jesus, it's about him being in me, that everything is, my identity is totally being defined by it, right? And that everything I do from this point is coming out of that, what's the word? That being, that agreement, maybe, right? It's like that.
Your covenant?
Yeah, it's my gas tank. It's like whatever, all my energy, all my my activities drawn from that place of just like knowing, wow, not only is he in me, but we're not just connected. We're like intertwined, inseparable, like that is, it's like his, like the, if love can be described as glue, it's like it's totally, you know, every part of our DNA is intertwined with him. So then I had this other thought. It's like, okay, God, he unconditionally loves us, right?
Yep.
We say that all the time. God, you unconditionally love us. And I thought, okay, then how many conditions are there to the unconditional love? It's like we say unconditional love all the time. It's like, God, how many conditions are there to unconditional? It's like scripture, the fun part about scripture, it's like this continual proclamation of not only you're totally loved, totally accepted, but it's like your sins are like totally forgiven. In fact, the word that the Bible uses to describe that result of all of that is righteousness. You're totally loved. You're totally forgiven. All your sins are free. You're totally accepted, right? And he says, you know that righteousness, one of the Greek translations for righteousness is clearance of all your guilt. There is no claim against you. There is nothing, right, that would say you're disqualified for being intertwined and glued together. There's no, okay, I got to deal with this next. Oh, I got to deal with this next. Oh, we got to get this removed. This season I'm going to work on this barrier. And then next year, I it's not like exercising at the gym. Your righteousness is not a process. Mm-hmm. It is that inseparable connection was totally secure at the cross. That your total righteousness, right? Total righteousness was secured at the cross. Okay. It has absolutely nothing to do with you, right? It's because of Jesus. It's because of his death. It's because of his resurrection, right? It's because of him that we have this absolutely, totally freeing enjoyment of being DNA glued, right? Right? So it's like, you have no, all the living with guilt, living with shame, living with condemnation, living with a sense that there's a barrier or something that's just, you know, some believers think there's a whole lot between them, between there and perfect union with him, and others think, well, I'm just right here, right? When I said, how many conditions are there to unconditional love? That's what we do. We stack up conditions and we say, yeah, but. He goes, but what? Right? Right? Righteousness is this, right? And so when you begin to understand that we have, this is our connectedness with him. This is what righteousness means, right? You might call it, you have right standing with God. Mm-hmm. God's not looking at you saying, Yeah, but can you go take care of this? And then, right, there's no, God has no, what was that opening question I said about, it's not, we become not what we think the, we become not what our Father thinks of us, but what we think our Father thinks of us.
Yeah.
That's what's guiding our growing journey. It's, what does God really think of me? Right? So it's all here. It's just, it's like, what is, that's why Jesus is all about trying to say, nope, that's not true. Nope, that's not true. And when you come into this place of, oh, wow, I'm at this point, now we enjoy, now when you see, when God says, hey, pray boldly from this place, now you're like the 3.5-year-old little David story we read. It's like, hey, there's nothing between you and him. I can ask for mom's knee to be healed because there's literally nothing separating us, right? So when we, you know, if you don't pray from this place, we end up, if we think there's disconnect, we end up having like this inferiority complex. God says pray boldly because, right, because this is who you are with me. And if we think we're a little here, there's something that says, well, I'm not quite there. Can you see I lack some sincerity? I lack some boldness. I lack some courage maybe because in my mind, I'm not, what Jesus would say, I don't believe I'm righteous, right? Jesus says, dude, you're totally righteous, so you can pray with boldness, right? About, you know, you can pray from that place. And if, by the way, if you think you're this, not only inferiority or a sense of weakness, but we sort of, and you've probably seen this with people praying, we kind of beg.
Right.
Yeah, oh, great word, Ange. We pray like orphans instead of sons and daughters. Right, we pray, it's like, because you're just waiting for the other shoe to fall. Right, the orphan's like, am I really in the family? Am I really, right? He doesn't know what family that looks like. And so, yeah, we end up acting like an orphan, begging for God to move, Ange. And there's something there that says we're not worthy. And the simplicity of the gospel, that's what I just wanted to just start with and end with. The simplicity of the gospel is Jesus makes us worthy. Let me read one more testimony and I'll close this here. Okay. He said, so Chris goes all over the world and he gets invited into places that you and I might not get invited into. And he's sharing with a woman, he just describes her as a very well-known lady. Right? He said, and before we meet, there's a quiet voice in my heart that said, just come into agreement with my word. The lady was an executive, and she had been involved in an accident which left her with a severe concussion for about 4 years.
Wow.
Right? He says, pondering in my heart, what does just come into agreement with my word mean? We started to talk. She had lost her ability to read, as the letters were totally jumbled. And if we don't know the heart of God and the will of God, how can we come into agreement with this word and declare boldly the answer? We'll be more likely to pray, Lord, if it's your will. Done that. Lord, if it's your will. Right? The conversation started around the subject of union with God, and that we're one with him, and our home base is in him. Union with God. It's the very entry point of the believer's life. Right? So the conversation continued on this endeavor to bring her into agreement with God's word. We spoke about the doubts of healing that people surround themselves with, our performance, the will of God, the timing of God, the divine purpose of God, and then the doubt, the lack of faith. Incidentally, it's my personal belief that the only barrier to your breakthrough is you thinking there's a barrier.
Right.
So we addressed the first four of these doubts and points, and she seemed to be in total agreement with them. The options are running out, so the question is posed to her. So what do you think your barrier is to you being healed? The response came back immediately, and she replied, that has to be my lack of faith. As soon as she said this, in my heart, there was a knowing that the miracle was as good as done. We paused and we turned back to our home base as the believer, right? I'm in him, right? If we're in him, how can we lack faith when he does not? If we're in him, how can we lack faith? Because he does not. Shocked at my response, she sat in awe the moment. She leaned back on the couch. She returned to this home base of being in him. She focused on this thought of identity and our union with him. And she says, no longer than like 20 seconds, she says, her face lights up. She says, it's gone. Chris says, of course it is. he doesn't have a concussion, and you're in him. she was reading aloud Matthew 7 and 8, and he says, what happened? He said, it was the simple agreement of coming into alignment with God's word. There was never a healing prayer. It was purely an agreement. He says it was an exciting time. As the revelation hit me that people getting healed could be way easier than we've ever imagined. And the lies that we believe about healing could be quickly exposed if we use the life of Jesus as our healing model. So the most obedient thing that you could do, right, is to just say, okay. It's like, it's just receive what he gave you. It's like the most obedient thing you could ever do is just let him love you. The most obedient thing you could ever do is just say, okay. It's like, wow. It's like, and just claim what he says to be true about you. The most, right? His love is extravagant. And that verse you read in John 14, it's like, and he shares this. He says, what Jesus says, what do I got? I got sonship. And I'm gonna share it with you. That's radical extravagant. It's like, that's the most extravagant gift of all. The same thing that the Father has for his Son, he has for you. That's like, that's beyond extravagant. That's beyond radical. It's like, right? So that thought right there. There you go. Hang out with that thought all week, because it should wreck you. Right? It's like that, you know, Chris like kept saying game over, or it's game on. To me, it's like, this is it. If we can just rest in this truth, wow. I'm in him and he's in me. That's my basis. I'm just gonna hang on that. It's like no striving, no trying, no earning. No performing. I'm just gonna. There's only being. There's only living. Right. It's like my basis is I'm in him and he's in me. And in the weeks ahead, I mean, we'll talk about, unpack some things about the issue of boldness and courage and strength and stuff. But right. So if this is our basis. Right. This is my home base. He's in me, right? John 10:10. What is it, Angel?
John 10:10.
I have come that you might have
life.
Have more abundance. There you go.
More
abundance. That's it. That's home base.
Yeah.
That's it. That's home base. I have come, Don. I've come that you would have life. That you would. It's like, this is home base. I'm in him and he's in me. So everything needed for responding to today, right, boom, right there. Everything I need for the word to say, boom, right there. Right? As we just kind of like allow our senses to like tune in to Holy Spirit, what do you want to say? What do you want to do? What's going on? And it's like that's how we're gonna live life, right? So How do 3.5-year-olds pray and see miracles in mom's name? How does somebody, when you just touch them and you don't even pray, get healed on an airplane? How does the simple thought of God says, just do this, wreck, you know, that your waiter at your next meal? It's like, I've come that you would have life this way. And it's like, I have a feeling that's kind of, when he talks about living it to the full, there's something being released as we just walk in agreement with his word about what he says about us. So this morning, as we just close our time, Holy Spirit, there's no conditions to your unconditional love.
Mm-hmm.
So remove lies in our head this morning. Things that are sort of stuck up there there's something holding me back from really believing that that's what you say about me. God, I just say, pull out splinters this week.
Mm-hmm.
Shine light, good word, Becky. Shine light on what's true. Expose things that aren't true. God, just reveal yourself this week. We just enjoy and accept and receive your love. God, your perfect, incredible, radical, extravagant love. In Jesus' name.
Amen.